And the pasuk in the Sukkot parasha, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzu Kanisa. Familiar with the Gemara in Brachas that darshens out the double Ad Yavor. The Gemara in Brachas Dav Dalet. Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem Zu Birishona. Ad Yavor Amzu Kanisa Zu Birishniya. The Gemara learns that this expression here of being over is referring to the two times that Am Yisrael was over Es HaYarden. The first time coming into Eretz Yisrael at the time of Yehoshua, the first Havara, and the second time that Klal Yisrael was over Es HaYarden to come in, the second getting over an obstacle to come into Eretz Yisrael at the time of Biashniya, at the time of Ezra. Rav Kook in his Siddur Ola Asriya uses this Gemara as a springboard of, as a picture of the symbolism of the two steps required for acquiring Shlemus. The two periods here of time that Am Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. What shined during the Bayis Rishon was the skula of Yisrael mitzad kedushas hanefesh, the time that there was a powerful hashras hashchina during the bayis rishon, and what shined during the second bayis at the time that we didn't have it. It's true, we didn't have that same hashras hashchina felt, that as Rav Kook calls it, the shining of the tzad of kedushas hanefesh. However, dafka what shined during the Kufa of Bayis Sheni was what Rav Kook refers to as Mitzad Kedushas HaMaisim. Dafka during Bayis Sheni, with the growth spurt of Torah Shebaal Peh, the development of Torah Shebaal Peh, Anshei Knesses HaGdola and the Riboy Mitzvos Terabbanan, this aspect of Kedushas HaMaisim shine. These two sides, the Kedushas HaNefesh, appreciating what it means to be a Jew, shine during the first bias. The tzad of recognizing our action, how much so much is dependent on our action, is what shined during bias Sheni. Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzu Kanisa, Zubi Rishona V'Zubi Yashnia. It's a real schus and a privilege to have with us today a first-class mechanech who has been so successful at getting across both of these aspects to his Talmidim and many of the guys here in this room who, even beyond the Talmidim at DRS, Talmidim at the NCSY Kollel, anyone who has had the opportunity, the privilege of coming into contact with Rav Kamenetsky, has learned, has gained in these two areas of, first of all, appreciating that side of nefesh, appreciation of what it means to be a Jew, and along with that, that second aspect of turning into maisa, turning into action, getting us going, motivating, and maximizing our potential, maximizing our kochos. It's a privilege to have with us today Harav Yisrael Kamenetsky.
Brishus, Rav Waxman, the other Rebbe's here. I want to begin by apologizing to probably the three-quarters of the people in the room who really don't want to be sitting here right now. I really feel badly about that. I thank Rabbi Waxman for not having me speak today, because I don't want to take away precious seconds from your morning Seder. I know everybody would much rather be a morning Seder. So I really want to apologize, but it's really not me. Just blame it all on Rav Waxman. That's the honest truth, but the truth, but what's also the honest truth, is that for me it's really a very, very special zechus, something that I actually, even though I speak publicly pretty frequently, It's not so often that I actually speak to people who want to hear what I have to say. So the truth is, for me, it's a very, very big supposed to be able to address you just for a few minutes. When I speak at Shalavim, there's something about the yeshiva that I always like to try to say something from the mesecta that you are currently wearing. I figure at least it shouldn't be something completely take you out of morning seder, especially in a yeshiva such as this. I speak in many different yeshivos, and especially in a yeshiva such as this, something about the, as the Rebbe just spoke about, the Torah Shabbat Peh, and the fact that I know this is a yeshiva that focuses on that which Rashi and Masechta Brachos, by us in yeshiva learning Masechta Brachos, and see what Rashi calls Ikar HaTorah. Rashi calls Torah Shabbat Peh, and your studies in Gemara, even though I assume most people assume when I'm going to comment, I'm going to say something, I'm not going to give an Iyun Shir and Baba Basa to you. Because you have so many fantastic Rebbes who can do a much better job than me in giving an Iyun Shir and Baba Basa. But there is one little piece of something in Baba Basa that something, it would seem to me that perhaps people didn't spend that much time on it. I'm not sure the Rebbes gave Iyun Shir on the Sugya of Tztaka. That's in the first parak. I figured I would say one idea that comes out of the Sugya of Tztaka and then branch it off into something that probably everybody really might want to actually listen to. Something more along the lines of, to use it, to speak about the Divrei Machshava. There's a Tosfos in Baba Basra on Daf Ches Amud Beis. The Sugya in Baba Basra, and again, one of the reasons why I like in Shalavim particularly to talk from the Gemara of the Sugya learning, because that's really the meat and potatoes of what's going to last with you. I was talking to a boy the other day and saying to him, you know, what do you feel you're getting out of the year, yeshiva? You know, he said, well, you know, everyone told me I was going to get out of learning, but I really feel like I'm working and growing a lot in my Yiras Shamayim, my Avodas Hashem. Anybody that knows me for 2 seconds know that to me, that's of course the major focus of being in Eretz Yisrael. The major, most important thing is to grow in your Avodas Hashem and to grow in your Yiras Shamayim. That's obviously the most important thing. But the truth is that very, very frequently, long term, you're only really going to be able to sustain. When I say long term, I'm talking about long term from where I'm holding. You know, from longer term. Long term sustaining growth in Avodas Hashem and Yiras Shamayim comes very, very frequently, if not always, through a sustained kesher with learning. And people who can find a lifelong loving relationship with Shas and with learning are those people who are going to ultimately find their striving and growth in Avodas Hashem to be that much easier, that much more productive. So it says in Shas, it says in Baba Basra, that Chesed Beis is a Tosis. There's a Sugya of Tztaka. And in the middle of the Sugya of Tztaka, the Gemara tells a story that Kiha derava akfe l'Rav Nosson bar Ami b'shakul minei arba mea zuzei l'Tztaka. Daf Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara says that Rava forced Rabbi Nosson bar Ami. Rava collected from Rabbi Nosson bar Ami 400 gold pieces for Tztaka. He forced them to give Tztaka. Went into his house. He had the Shluchei Bezin in there. Like if he wouldn't give it, Mustami, he would beat him up. He came in and he forced him to give. He was a wealthy man. And he forced him to give a lot of money to Tztaka. So Tosfos, the very well-known Tosfos here on Ches Amud Beis, where Tosfos has a kasha about this. Vim Tomar. B'habipera kol abasar omar, kol mitzvah saseh shematin schar ksuva b'tzida, ein bezin shalmata muzharan alel. V'gabi tztaka ksiv ki pasoach tiftach es yad chalo ksiv, ki b'glal hadavar hazeh yivarechecha. Tosfos has a kasha that we have a rule in Shas. Kol mitzvah saseh shematin schar b'tzida, which means any mitzvah saseh in the Torah that the Torah tells you there's going to be a reward for this mitzvah, the Torah spells out what the reward is. Beis Din does not have the right to force you to perform that mitzvah. The sum of the logic of such a statement is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu already wrote out in the Torah that if you keep stuck and keep it kalal adavar hazeh, you bereft Hashem alakecha b'kol ma'asecha b'kol mishlach yadecha. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu already wrote out what the reward for the mitzvah of stuff is going to be, so basically the way the Rabbanu Shalom wanted it to be, the way he set up the mitzvah of stuff is, if you want to give it, you get the reward. If you don't want to give it, you don't get the reward. By all other mitzvahs that the Torah does not specifically write what the schar is, or rather we know there's going to be general schar, so there you have a concept called kfiyah. Then it can force you to perform the Ratzon Hashem. If there's no clear matzkar mitzida. But if the Ravon Shalom wrote what the reward is, so it's basically the Ravon Shalom is saying, take it or leave it. If you want the reward, do the mitzvah. If you don't want it, don't. Betz is not going to get involved in forcing it. A fascinating concept by itself, not my major topic of discussion today. Comes along Tosfos, and Tosfos has a whole bunch of answers. By raising hand, did anybody here learn this Tosfos? Anybody learn the Tosfos? Okay, bunch of guys learned the Tosfos. Baruch Hashem, good. Well,
so Tosfos has four answers.
Tosfos has four answers to the kasha. Tosfos says, number one, well, forcing doesn't really mean forcing. He means kfiyah bedvarim. Rava didn't go into his house and actually smack him over the head. He just gave him a very deep, penetrating musar shmooze to the extent that he really felt like garbage if he wouldn't do it. So it wasn't real kfiyah, and therefore it's not a violation of the Gemara of Ein Bezdin Musar Alea, because he wasn't really kofet. He just gave him a nice speech about it. Second teretz, here we're talking about a situation of kiblu alayu. That the agreement in the town was they all were mekabel that Bezdin was going to force them. So since the town agreed that they wanted to ramp up their achiyuv tzedaka, they wanted to force themselves, so they all agreed to have Bezdin force them, even though Bezdin really wouldn't have had the right to force them. But since they all made an agreement amongst themselves, they were mekabel on themselves, that Bezdin should force in this particular town, So therefore, in this case, he was allowed to force. The third answer, which if we had more time, we would go into a lot more. The third answer, the Reis says, is Dibitztaka kofi mishum deispe lav. Tztaka is not only a mitzvah of pasach tiftach, there's also lavin. Lo sa meitzes levavcha, velo sikpotzes yadcha, lo sa amitz. Since there are lavin associated, so the rule that Bezdin is not allowed to force if it's mitzvah asay sheman schar betzita is only by pure asay. But here you have lavin as well. A shayla, that seems to be pretty obvious. Why are the other answers to us not like that? So here you have the Achronim already talking about the fact that maybe here the lavin aren't really hardcore lavin. They're actually just lavin that are there to support the asay. You have that in a few places. I once heard from Rav Schechter. He asked the kasha of why is an onin putter in brachos? An onin doesn't make brachos. Why? Because an onin doesn't do mitzvah asay. But isn't there also an iser gezel? The Gemara in brachos says asul ol adam sheyenim olam hazeh b'lo bracha. So there are isurim involved. So maybe one should argue that we showed him talking about. Maybe one should argue that that there's isurim. An onin's not putter from isurim. He just doesn't make bracha. He doesn't do mitzvahs. But here there's an Isser Gezel, so he explained that no, they're the whole Isser Gezels, they're just to support the assay. Sometimes you have Yisurim that stand by themselves, and you also have Yisurim that are the support. So the other Rishonim, the other answers in Tosfos here, seem to be holding. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm busy over here. Said that I don't know how to work these things, So the other Rishonim seem to say that the Lavim here don't stand on their own, and therefore you would still have Kfiyah if not for the other answers. Interesting point that the third answer of Tosfos says that, well, here there are Lavim. And the fourth answer Tosfos says, Uliritzvan Nireb, that that's only all it means, that Ein Bezdin Mazar means that Bezdin can't punish. But really there are a lot of force that they just don't get punished if they don't force. That's what Tosfos says. You can look up the Tosfos four answers. So Mipi Hashmua, it's quoted in the name of Reb Chaim. Now, where can you see this Reb Chaim? I don't believe this Reb Chaim is really in print anywhere. It's not in print that Reb Chaim said it. You have it in the Rishimos Shiurim, Rabbi Reichman Sefer on on Nedarim, on Shavuos, Shavuos and Nedarim, I think it's Amud Kuf Ayin Daled, I had it in my hands a second ago. That sometimes happens right before you get a shir, all of a sudden the page disappears. But it says in Rabbi Reich and Sefer, page Kuf Ayin Daled, and I still know, there it is.
There it is. Good place for it.
Kuf Ayin Daled in the Rishima Shiurim, Inyan Staka, he quotes it B'Shem Reb Chaim, and there's a sefer that was published in honor of Rav Soloveitchik's 70th birthday called Kavod HaRav, where Rabbi Daniel Lander, the Rashi Baruch Chaim, wrote an article in that book, Kavod HaRav, called De Machsoro, where he also quotes this idea B'Shem Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim had a fifth answer to Tosfos Kash. A fifth answer. Reb Chaim basically said that there are two halachos in the mitzvah of tzedakah. Of course, you'd expect Reb Chaim to say such a thing. There are two halachos in the mitzvah of tzedakah. He basically says there are two parshiyos in the Torah that discuss the mitzvah of tzedakah. There's one parsha in Parshas Behar where the Torah says v'chi amuch achicha umata yado imach. That's one parsha in Parshas Behar. There's a mitzvah of tzedakah. And there's also another mitzvah of tzedakah in Parshas Re'eh. In Parshas Re'eh, the Torah says, Ki yeh b'cho evyon me'achal echecha b'achad sherecha b'aretz lecha asher Hashem lecha nosin lach lo sa'ameitz es levavcha etc. Ki pasuach tiftach es yoncha v'avei tavitenu de'machsor asher yechsalo. Said Reb Chaim, these two parshas of tzedakah are referring to two distinct obligations that an individual has to give tzedakah. One of them is the obligation that the yachid, the individual, has b'tor yachid. As an individual, I am obligated to give tzedakah because there's a specific chiyuv on me as an individual to help. However, the parsha in Behar, why is it that the Torah needed to repeat the mitzvah of tzedakah twice? Why do you need two parshas in the Torah that talk about tzedakah? Said Reb Chaim, if you learned the sugya of tzedakah, a lot of you, I'm sure, learned it in Balabas in the first paragraph, you know there's something called a kupa and a tafloy. There's all different kinds of obligations on the community to provide for those in the community who are less fortunate. So there's one parsha in the Torah has an obligation to sustain those people who are least well off in the tzibur. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Lander in his article wants to suggest that the whole obligation of De Machsoro, which means, you know, if somebody used to drive a Cadillac and now he drives an old like me, if someone used to drive a Cadillac and now he lost money, he drives it old. So you know the din is, De Machsoro teaches me that there's an obligation to put a person back even to his former level. A guy used to live in a massive house, and then business went sour. So now he's living in a small little house. So the poskim says, Shulchan Aruch says, you have an obligation of De Machsoro to put him back to the place that he was. Says Rabbi Lander, based on this idea of Rechaim, that Allah is only a din on the Yachid, because where does it say De Machsoro? In which parts of the Torah does it say De Machsoro? Where does it say it? It says it only where? In Parshas Re'eh. What's the topic of Parshas Re'eh? According to Reb Chaim, Stava of the Yachid. So only the Yachid. If I want to help somebody get back to his previous state, that's my business. But the Tzibur, you wouldn't suggest that the priority of the Stava of the Tzibur is to take this guy to drive a Cadillac, and now he's driving an old, to put him back to driving a Cadillac again. That's basically the thesis of Rabbi Lander's article, the Sefer Kavod HaRav on the top of De Machsoro. And Rav Soloveitchik wanted to extend this idea of Reb Chaim to explain a fascinating Gemara in Ksuvos. where the Gemara says that in order to make Sheva Brachas, everybody here knows, in order to make Sheva Brachas, you need a minion. You need 10 people. So all the Rishonim are bothered, Exubus, in the city of Sheva Brachas, are Daf Ches.
They're all bothered. Why do you need a minion for Sheva Brachas? What do you need a minion for? So the Sheet of Kubas, Exubus says, the reason you need a minion is because it's a Darash of Kedusha. Sheva Brachas is a Darash of Kedusha, like Hadish and Arafu. That's the Chor, a very, very difficult shot. What makes Sheva Brachas a Darash of Kedusha so much? What's the whole, totally. Kedusha, yeah, but what makes Sheva Brachas a Darash of Kedusha? Just because it's a lot of brachas in a row. Shmon Esrei is 18 brachas in a row. You don't need a minion to say Shmon Esrei. You can say Shmon Esrei b'yichidus. Most of the Rishonim don't learn Shad that, by the way. That Sheva Brachas is a Darash of Kedusha. Why in 10 people? So they just thought, the reason is because in general, all chiyuvim of chesed, there's one obligation of chesed on the yachid, which means I have an obligation to be mesameach chasam the kala as an individual, and Sheva Brachas is the obligation of the tzibur to be mesameach chasam the kala. How does the tzibur express its obligation of chesed? Just like by Stavka, which is the mitzvah of chesed, we see there's a chov on the yachid and a chov on the tzibur, so too when it comes to Sheva Brachas, or the mitzvah of simchas chasam the kala, the yachid has an obligation to be mesameach, as does the tzibur. I was sitting in shul this past Shabbos in the Young Israel of Woodmere. There's a bar mitzvah there. I was sitting there, and the rabbi, Rabbi Billet, gave a beautiful, beautiful drasha about tefillin, about one pasuk that we just read this past Shabbos about tefillin, which I thought related directly to this sugya of Bava Basra, and which I thought was a very important and appropriate message, especially for the boys of this yeshiva who I know very, very much understand this obligation. He pointed out just very briefly. Why is it whenever I speak, I always find myself running out of time? That clock is a drop too fast though, correct?
Is that right?
What time is it? What's about the right time? I know I can't take away from Shear. How much time do I have ready? What time?
No, how much time do
I have? I got
10 minutes.
10 minutes? Oh boy. So I have enough time. He said over a beautiful drasha about tefillin. Mamash, a beautiful drasha. Which is mamash related to this very, very same point. Because often in life, we find ourselves with a tension between our chiyuvim mitzad the yachid, our chiyuvim that we have mitzad ourselves, but of course also we always find ourselves with obligations to the tzibur and with obligations as part of the tzibur. And Rabbi Billet darshan so beautifully this past Shabbos, asking the following number of questions on the mitzvah of tefillin that we do every single morning, that all of you know are right at the end of Parshas Bo that we just read. Right until Tuesday night, you can still make Havdalah, so you're still allowed to talk on the previous week's parsha. But says by the tefillin, "Va'yom l'cha la'olos al yoncha, ulototafos ve'ne'em." Tefillin, very fascinatingly, everybody knows that the tefillin shel yad is l'cha la'os. It has to be a sign privately for you. The tefillin shel yad is supposed to be covered up. That's why you have those little black boxes on your tefillin. That's why some people put their shirt sleeve over the tefillin. La'os al yadcha. It's a private sign. The tefillin shel rosh are public. Everybody can see them. Everybody is supposed to see them. As you all know, the pasuk says, "V'ra'u chol amei haaretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha." And the Gemara comments on that drasha, on that pasuk. The Gemara dashes in that pasuk. What's that pasuk referring to? Elu tefillin sheberosh. The Gemara says, "V'ra'u chol amei haaretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha elu tefillin sheberosh." What do you see from that? That the point of the tefillin sheberosh is that everybody should see it. That's the point. Number two, he pointed out something very fascinating. The Gemara says, "Vayal l'chala os al yadcha." Tefillin shel yad is called an os.
And tefillin sharosh is called letotafos beinecha. Fascinating word, letotafos. The Gemara struggles. What's the definition of the word totafos? The Gemara has one opinion that says tat bekaspi shtayim vupas ba'afriki shtayim. That's the Gemara says.
Totafos, let me say that again. Tat bekaspi shtayim totafos. What is this word totafos? What does the word mean?
So other Rishonim say differently. The Rishonim struggle, the Gemara struggles. What does the word totafos mean? Frontless. What in the blazes are frontlets? Doesn't help me. You look at the English, it doesn't help you. What are frontlets? Totafos. So the Gemara says, Tat b'kaspi shtayim, pas b'afriki shtayim. So in Caspi, in an African, totafos means 2 plus 2 is 4. Ask Rabbi Billet, why did the Gemara for totafos have to revert to Caspian and African words to say the number 4? Why couldn't it just called it Arba, or Shtayim Shtayim? Why do you have to run to Totafos? Second question. The tefillin, the third point, the tefillin shel yad is all one klaf, one bias. One bias and one klaf is the tefillin shel yad. Tefillin shel rosh, 4 batim, 4 klafim, 4 independent parshas. Same parshas, tefillin shel yad, it's all in one klaf. Tefillin shel rosh, 4. And finally, the fourth halacha about tefillin, fascinating. When you always, if as long as you're putting on both, you can never have the tefillin shel rosh on without the tefillin shel yad. You always have to have the tefillin shel yad on first, and then the tefillin shel rosh. And when you're taking off the tefillin, which do you have to take off first? You have to take off the shel rosh first, and then the shel yad.
Means you always have to have the tefillin shel yad on when you have the tefillin shel rosh on. 4 halachas about tefillin. And finally, just one final kasha. Why did Klal Yisrael need to know about tefillin on the way out of Egypt? Why exactly? They can wait for Matan Torah 49 days later. What do they need to know tefillin for on the way out of Mitzrayim? Said Rabbi Billet unbelievably beautifully. The tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. If you haven't figured it out yet, the punchline. The tefillin shel yad symbolize our personal obligation to ourselves. Our private obligation to fill ourselves up with as much learning, with as much Yirat Shamayim, with as much Avodas Hashem, with as much Chesed, whatever, as a yachi, tefillin shel yad is covered. It's private. It's one klah. It is confined. It is contained. It symbolizes man's obligation as a yachid. However, the tefillin shel rosh symbolizes man's obligation as part of a tzibur. V'ra'u kol ame haaretz kishem Hashem yikra lecha. That means the nations of the world are supposed to look at Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael as a nation has an obligation clapping the other nations of the world that people should see that we are people that have tefillin shel rosh. Senator Abilin, that's why the Gemara uses Africans and Caspians to describe tefillin shel rosh, because the whole function of the tefillin shel rosh is Morocco, Ame, Oren, Kishem, Hashem, Nikola. It speaks about Klal Yisrael's obligation to be an Oren Lagoyim, Klal Yisrael's obligation to live in this world publicly to a certain standard and a certain level. It speaks also about Klal Yisrael's obligation not only to clap in the rest of the world, but Klal Yisrael's obligation as a tzibur. That we have an obligation to the rest of Klal Yisrael. That's why the tefillin shel rosh are rabid. There's 4 of them. It's the same parshas. Tefillin shel yad is one which symbolizes man's obligation to work on himself and to build himself up. And the tefillin shel rosh is 4. It's plural. It's rabid. Because it speaks to the obligation of Klal Yisrael to function as its But his uncle wouldn't give us the Torah until we had a sense of tzibur. Until we were Ki'isha Chad Maleva Chad. Until we understood the obligations that we have to every member of Klal Yisrael. There's no such thing as a Torah just for me, that I can't understand what Torah means for all of Klal Yisrael. The lesson also is that until each person is placing his own tefillin on his own arm, so Klal Yisrael as a tzibur can't function. The tefillin shel yad have to be on first. First you have to fill yourself up. First you have to work on yourself. First you have to fill up your own private personal clock. Only then can you serve as a member and publicly go within Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael itself, to the rest of the world, can't function unless Klal Yisrael itself builds itself up privately. This is a message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to deliver to Am Yisrael on its way out of Egypt. And you should know you're becoming a nation now, so the tefillin embodies for you the obligation that you have as a nation to reach inside yourselves and strengthen yourselves, and then the obligation that you have also as one of the nations of the world. Klal Yisrael has to worry about the world as well. Klal Yisrael has an obligation to care about what's going on in the rest of the world. And as Klal Yisrael has been formed as a nation of Israel, we wanted to deliver this dual message to the people who came out of Egypt. I think the message for those sitting and learning here in Eretz Yisrael is clear as well. And I know that this yeshiva is a yeshiva that especially puts focus on caring about Klal Yisrael and being involved in Klal Yisrael, being involved in Medinat Yisrael, and caring and certainly Klal Yisrael as a tzibur, the Iker existence of Klal Yisrael as a tzibur is here in Medinat Yisrael. But certainly the message for those studying in the yeshiva is to use this time to fill up our tefillin shel yad, to fill up our personal little batim, our personal bias, which is symbolized by the ruchnius that each person is going to drink in during this year or years that he has the schlus to learn Torah HaKadosha and Arzei HaKadosha. But to use that vehicle of the tefillin shel yad to then, when you leave the walls of the yeshiva, to look out into the tzibur of Klal Yisrael, and to look out into the, beyond the tzibur of Klal Yisrael, to look out into the world, and to care about, and to try to spread forth the messages of Yiddishkeit, of chesed, of fidelity to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, Torah Mitzvah, to look out into Klal Yisrael and to spread this tremendous inspiration and chizuk and filling and Talmud Torah that you were able to gain while during the years that you were in yeshiva. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless each one of you that you succeed this year in using every single second and every single precious minute of this chus that you have to study Torah in Arzeinu HaKadosha. And then fill up your own private bias so that by the time you leave the yeshiva, you will be able to be a walking Mayan HaMisgaber who will spread Torah throughout all the rest of Klal Yisrael. And then we'll usher in Ben Hashem the period of Mala Haaretz Deo Hashem Kamayim Layom Achasim, the coming of